This episode of Dummy is brought to you by Who Are Ya? Check out WhoAreYaDesigns.com for the most clever soccer shirts in all the land. Whether you follow the English Premier League, MLS, or your favorite national teams, Who Are Ya has a shirt for you. Right now, they're offering free shipping to all Dummy listeners when you use promo code DUMMY at checkout. That's D-U-M-M-Y. Enter it in, and you'll get free shipping on your order at WhoAreYaDesigns.com. This is Dummy.
Hello there, you're listening to the Dummy Podcast. You know, that weekly get-together where soccer fans get together.
How many times are we getting together?
I don't know, once a week. This is Simon Carr. The dulcet tones of George Karashi will be with us later. For some reason, we're guest hosting the soccer gods. Kevin Brown, Nando Villa, and me, Simon Carr. How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Simon. It's always been a dream to host the Dummy Podcast.
And personally, I'd appreciate it if you referred to me as the chocolate fog for the rest of this interview.
Sure. I didn't get that in the rider. Okay, Nando, you've been working on your radio voice as well, obviously.
Yes, I've been trying very hard to sound as NPR as possible. So just tell me if this is annoying or I should continue.
I don't know, distracting more than anything.
I'll talk normally.
Good. So what are we going to talk about? MLS? MLS All-Star Week? What have you been doing?
Okay, I'm George. I'm here.
Oh, hey, George is here.
I was going to build you up.
No, because I have something I want to talk about.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Special guest, George Karashi, editor of Howl.
Hey, guys. Hey, everybody. So I want to talk about the MLS All-Star Media Game.
Yes. You know, everyone knows that the big real game at MLS All-Star Week is the media game where the cream of the crop of American U.S. soccer journalists get together to play a soccer tournament. My team was very good. They were the blue team. They played hard. They played their guts out. But in the end, we were robbed by the format and by some transfer shenanigans in the middle of the tournament that I did not agree with.
No. So let's just like build the scene a little bit. You guys finished third place.
Yes.
Out of?
Five. We were the heavy favorites going into the tournament. We started off really strong. We won 4-1 in our first game. And then once we faced the yellow team, led by George Qureshi.
My team.
They stole a guy from another team.
No. This is the MLS All-Star. It was an allocation. A mid-season.
You and your inside MLS jokes are so lame.
He was using other galaxies. George cheated. Don't let him try to lock one. George straight out cheated.
So then
and picked up a new player.
We had an injury.
Very Gio Dos Santos.
No, the other George. There was another George on my team from the Denver Post. He got injured. We picked up Franco Pinito. Oh God, it's embarrassing. I don't remember his last name.
No one knows who he is.
His name is Franco Pinito.
No, he writes for Soccer by Ives. That's how I know him. So he came on and look, George from the Denver Post had scored in the previous game. We traded a proven goal scorer for an unknown midseason.
George from the Denver Post looked like a good chap, but he was also maybe 40 years older than anyone else on the field. So
true.
I think
so
you upgraded.
Stamina told, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So in the end, who won the tournament, Nando?
Yellow team. Yellow team won the tournament. It was shrouded in controversy.
Did you get any kind of trophy or anything for that?
Well, No trophy. Just a photograph at the end. I want to ask you a question. We're sitting right next to each other, very close. How do I smell to you?
Actually, not as bad as I thought you might. This room that we're in does smell rather heavily.
Tell everyone where we are.
We're in Nando's hotel room in downtown Denver.
Things got a little crazy last night, Simon, and when that happens, sometimes there's a slight must.
And I'm a little bit offended that I'm the one that has to share this microphone with this man at this moment.
You're the chocolate fog. You're fine. You're going to be totally fine.
Which means I think I deserve a little bit better.
Are we really trying to make the chocolate fog like catch on?
Is that the thing? The chocolate fog happens whether or not you want it to, Simon.
It rolls in.
The chocolate fog doesn't need your permission to roll into town, baby.
So what are we talking about today? Some soccer?
We probably should talk about some soccer.
At some point. So you just interviewed Jossie Zardes.
I did. That's coming up in block two, I believe, George.
Can we just tease that a little bit? How did that go?
He's a very nice young man, I have to say. He's the future of your country sport. He was very decent, very well-spoken, very polite.
Yeah, but I mean,
He didn't give us any real gossip.
No good take.
I would say that he did say which position he prefers playing in the most.
Ooh, that's a big controversy.
Stay tuned.
US soccer.
Does Jossie Zardes have a nickname? Your chocolate fog, what would he be?
Something related to a skunk.
Something lightning.
No, something skunk related.
Jesse LePew.
It's slightly disappointing that he's led Bradford James in the fourth down the path of skunkitude. Because now, for a time, they were both rocking the same Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, Judge Dredd, I just got booted from Arsenal youth, blonde streak mohawk.
I was thinking there needs to be more.
You're an angry man sometimes. Yeah. You're a very
I said all of that with a smile.
There needs to be more mentorship in the hair department on the U.S. national team, I think, because you saw, you know, you get Landon Donovan dropped from the team, right? And all of a sudden, no one's there to tell, like, DeAndre Yedlin, like, dude, all right, here's how you do this. Because, you know, Landon needs to have, like, the really bad, really bad bleach job. Right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
And, yeah, I remember
and
that.
All of a sudden, he's gone, and there's a total hair vacuum, leadership vacuum.
But, you know,
well, I mean, if the captain of the team is Michael Bradley.
We're going to the baldness already.
Going there.
Zardes does do this for his grandmother, though. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's the heartwarming story he likes to tell people.
I think you just scooped yourself.
Well, no, the main thing is like where it was throwing it down to Klinsmann and Bruce Arena that he has a place where he prefers to play.
Okay, all right, good.
I was much more aggressive about that than he was. He just sort of said it in passing, but you know, it's there. So when Dos Santos, Robbie Keane, and Zardes are fighting over who's going to play up front for LA Galaxy,
things could get hairy.
So MLS All-Star, this is my second one. It did get me thinking, maybe they should do away with the FA Community Shield and play an All-Star game in the Premier League. And I'll tell you why I suddenly got convinced. Because the Community Shield has lost a lot of interest, right? A lot of value because it's just a glorified friendly. Whereas and if your teams are not playing, you probably wouldn't watch. Whereas and Liverpool aren't going to win a trophy anytime soon. So I wouldn't probably watch the Community Shield. But an All-Star Premier League, two Premier League All-Star teams might be kind of fun.
How do you split them though?
London versus the world.
Top half, bottom half?
Yeah, probably.
Well, but then the top half would presumably destroy the bottom half.
I actually like North-South, because North-South has a history in...
Yeah, geography, or but then, foreigners versus Englishmen, foreigners would win.
Can you get
can you find a lot of Englishmen? I'm not sure.
Hey! Gareth Barry, all right? He'll be in the centre midfield.
They'll be begging for top half versus bottom half.
Come on, Milner.
James Milner will be fine. No, but I actually thought that might be quite a nice way to open a Premier League season with an All-Star game. It'd be kind of fun. I was trying to think of ways to make an All-Star
game.
Here's
the problem.
Go on.
You can't open the season with an All-Star game because what have they done to deserve to be
All-Star? No, from the year prior.
You say it was
summer
the season
friendly.
Before.
Okay, all right.
Because
summer
whoever
friendly.
Performed at Emirates Cup really well,
that would
be an All-Star.
That would give some juice.
Because it's like the Player of the Year awards in England, right? They give the voting is in like January, February time, and there's still like 4 months of the season. Like the All Stars for this season, there's still half a season of MLS to go.
Something to think about. Okay. All
right. So there you go, an EPL All Star game or a La Liga All Star game.
Sounds like $1 million idea, Simon.
Someone should write
that
down.
Well, I think that would definitely get more ratings internationally than the Community Shield.
Yeah. So there you go. That was my thoughts on how English soccer could learn from American soccer. Let's have an All-Star game.
Wow.
And playoffs. Get some playoffs in there.
Ooh.
While we're fixing things.
Yeah, you can keep the playoffs.
Have some playoffs.
You can keep the playoffs.
They have playoffs in England for like in the championship.
For the promotion, yeah.
Well, I was asking you yesterday whether you thought Kaká was better than any player on Tottenham.
Kaká is better than every Tottenham player.
Which is interesting. Is that the first time it happens?
Well, no, I think Thierry Henry was probably better than anyone on
Bayern?
Manchester United the year they played them.
No.
Yeah. Who from that Wayne Rooney? I would take Henry.
Not Red Bull's era.
Yeah, Thierry MLS Henry.
Kevin. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's true. Why not? He went back and played for Arsenal a little bit. I mean, he's still a really good player. Okay, so Rooney is the guy you pick from that United team. Who else? Who else was there?
What year was this?
A couple of years ago, Kevin. Sorry, Chocolate Fog.
2012.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 2012 in New York was.
Man United won the league that year, correct?
Manchester United.
Probably.
They normally do. Anyway, he was close. So yeah, so Kaká better.
Yeah.
And Thierry Henry is one of the top five humans of all time in any context. So it's rude to want to select Wayne Rooney over him in any.
Who rounds out your top five?
Top five humans
of
all time?
So Henry is where top five?
This is important. Top five humans of all time. Thierry Henry, Kanye West, me, Dylan from Making the Band, And Michael McDonald, yes.
Ah,
top five humans.
Seems like a
the
good time.
The only white guy in the top five is Michael McDonald.
That's 20%.
That's true.
20%. That's like, you know, the Earth. It's a representative. You know, Zach. Zach's here. That voice.
It was producer Zach.
Zach, come say hi.
Hi.
Zach, what do you think about soccer?
I really hate soccer. I've been working it professionally for like 7-8 years, and it's terrible. It's the worst. Also, soccer fans are just dreadful. I wish they would shut up.
Oh, man. So this is going to be our definitely highest rated podcast.
Zach is a ray of sunshine in everybody's life.
All right. Top five humans. What do you got, Nanda?
Top five humans. I have Jesus Christ. I have Raul. I have...
He's half deity, though. I'm just going to stop you there.
That's true. Eddie Vedder and Kevin Brown.
Chocolate Fog. Chocolate Fog gets in your top five.
Chocolate Fog makes it into my top five.
Solid.
I need some diversity.
I regret not including Karim Benzema.
Yeah, Karim Benzema is also in my top
just
five.
Just for his Instagram.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was good.
He's a good guy.
Weak left foot, though.
Everyone's got a weakness. Okay, Kevin Brown.
It's my very sincere hope that DeAndre Yedlin has come to this All-Star game with like a list of names of MLS players and like a series of scores to settle. And like this is his opportunity to have vengeance on people that have wronged him in the past.
Who has wronged him? Why has he been so wronged?
Well, I don't know. That's the mystery. But you can imagine DeAndre Yedlin being DeAndre Yedlin. There were plenty of opportunities for people to say or do terrible things to him, right? Like it feels like a natural reaction to being around DeAndre Yedlin that she would say or do something foul. So now is his chance for revenge.
That makes me nervous to be on this podcast with you because in the future, I don't even know. I may not have done anything wrong.
I hold grudges.
He writes them all down. Don't you worry.
Yeah. I definitely have a list.
You're like Arya in Game of Thrones.
So I'm probably projecting what I would do if I was DeAndre Yedlin. I would have a list of get back. Maybe I'm just projecting.
But that's okay. That's a good way to take it. I like that. And maybe it'll happen. If it happens, that'd be amazing. We'll have record of this.
Then I will be Fostradamus.
That was excellent analysis of the tonight's All-Star game. Should we wrap that up as block one and we'll be back with block two?
Yeah, we should do that.
Hi there, dummy listeners. Matt here. Popping up in your podcast like Chuck Blazer's cats at a condo board meeting. Meow. Now, is it just me or is it hot in here? Let me just open that window. Ah, that's so much better. So, summer is well and truly here, listeners, and that can only mean one thing. Time to get rid of those ugly sweaters, time to toss those hats and scarves, and time to start a bonfire with those awful sweater vests you've been wearing. So embarrassing. And, my dear listeners, time to slip into something altogether more comfortable. Like a t-shirt from Who Are You Designs, guaranteed to keep you looking cool and feeling cool. Uh-huh. So, make like a tree and log on to the interwebs. See what I did there? There's a pun. And go to whoareyoudesigns.com and use the promo code DUMMY, D-U-M-M-Y, for free shipping. Okay, back to George and the rest of those dummies.
Welcome back to part two of the Dummy Podcast with Simon, George, Nando, and Kevin, the Chocolate Fog. And producer Zach leaning over my shoulder. Earlier today, I sat down with US international, LA Galaxy striker, come fullback, come all-round good egg,
Jossie Zardes.
And here it is.
Jossie, nice to see you.
It's a pleasure being here with you.
Thanks for taking the time out of your All-Star day, breaking the routine, come and talk to us on a podcast. First time you're an All-Star. It's been a crazy 18 months, 2 years.
Yeah.
Talk us through some of the highlights.
Yeah, you know, within my first year, you know, I made it to playoffs. We lost to Real Salt Lake, but still just to be able to participate in the playoff game your rookie year is something that I cherish. But my second year, I had I was honored to score a goal in the championship game, you know, a game that means a lot to a lot of people. And just to play an impact in a role with my team was just an amazing feeling. You know, my third year as a professional, January camp. I get called into the national team, something I'd never been a part of my whole life growing up. And here was my opportunity. And ever since January, I've just been getting called into various camps and playing multiple games for the national team. So it's been a blessing, and it's just been so crazy, and I've been taking it day by day.
So you wake up every morning and go, wow, is this really happening?
Yeah, of course. You know, I wake up every morning just thanking God for the life I'm living, you know, and everything I'm being blessed with.
So you scored in the final, MLS Cup final last December. You scored your first US goal in Holland. Which one was better?
Yeah. Man, those are tough. But I would definitely have to say, you know, MLS championship, you know, you're playing for a cup, something that people play years in the MLS and never achieve, something I achieved, you know, by winning the MLS Cup. And just to score in a game like that, I feel like there's nothing like it, you know. I feel like I'll play Netherlands or Holland more in the future, and hopefully I score more goals against them, you know. But MLS Cup, you know, you just never know when you're going to have a moment like that.
Sure. So how was it this season? Galaxy were a bit rough when they started this season. Results maybe not quite what we expected. Did you guys all get together and say, have you said, like, hey, guys, look, second half of the season now, we've got some new guys coming in. You know, what have you guys said to each other, you know, to push on and defend the trophy?
To be honest, if you look at our past three seasons, we always get off to a slow start. So it's nothing new, you know. I always have faith in our coach, Bruce, you know. You know, he's a veteran, and he knows exactly what's going to happen and how the season is going to play out, always. So we always catch our swing midsummer, you know, like, right now is when we're going to start picking up the pace and really peaking. We've done it the previous 2 years, and I feel like it's going to happen again this year. You know, we're still at the top of the table. You know, usually we're much further behind, but we're at the top of the table. We have great additions to our team, you know, Stevie G, yeah. Gio Dos Santos. So, it's just amazing for our team just to catch form, players be healthy, and the second part of the season just be in our favor, in our hands.
Yeah, you're strong favorites for me. But so you got these new guys. You mentioned you got Stevie G and Dos Santos coming in. Has the coach spoken to you yet about how he sees you playing? I mean, I know you've played all across the front line. You've played fullback. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you prefer playing in any way? And have you spoken about it, how you guys are all going to fit in together?
Yeah, you know, I haven't really spoken much to my coaches because I've been away on national team duty.
Right.
But I'm going to see the team for the first time on Friday. So it's just going to be very interesting just to talk to them and really catch up on how things been going, you know. And that's when I'll really talk to the coaches or kind of see where they view me, you know, going forward.
And you don't really care?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I prefer playing up top, but at the same time, when you play out wide, you're still an attacking threat, you know. You do the defensive work, which I don't mind, but at the same time, when your team is attacking, you're playing like a striker.
All-Star Week, first one, what have you been up to this week? How do you prepare yourself for a game like this where there's not anything riding on it, but it's a very high profile match? How do you prepare yourself for it, and how have you taken this week?
I just got back to LA, and my first day back, I received a phone call that I'm going to get called up to the All-Star game. So the next day I'm going to fly out. So I just packed my bags and came out here, you know, and I just, like I said before, I always take things like this, or even like when I'm gone or away, I just take it day by day, you know, whatever is to come. But like you said, you know, a high profile match, nothing riding on the game. But I see it as another opportunity just to step out on the field and play to my full potential. You know, whether I play first half, second half, or even 10 minutes, 20 minutes, it doesn't matter. You know, I feel like just being a part of this environment means a lot to me, you know, just being called to the All-Star team or even the roster, you know, just being here in the atmosphere with this great group of guys that I know is just an amazing feeling for myself. So whether I play or not, I feel like it's just a great opportunity for myself. And when I step on the pitch and play against Tottenham, I know that this is their preseason, you know, they're preparing for the EPL. Still at the same time, I feel like it's just a great opportunity just to be rewarded, you know, for the hard work we've been doing in the MLS season and to finally, be able to put it on display, you know, for our fans in the MLS, for our clubs, you know, representing our clubs here on this pitch.
I'm English, as you can probably tell. So it's quite interesting for me to be here and see, like, the fans from all different teams here. You know, there's no MLS, you know, there's no All-Star game in England, right? And it kind of got me thinking, this might be actually kind of a cool thing. What do you make of, like, you know, the fans who travel from all over the country? Obviously, it's the 20th anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. This is like a great celebration week, right?
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing celebration week. Like you said, you have fans traveling from all over, you know, and I actually went to the homegrown game the other day, and I had New York Red Bull fans, you know, being friendly to me, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, New York City, you know. I had these fans from Dallas, you know, which are rivals of ours on the Western Conference, you know, they're being friendly, you know. It's all fun and game, and you can just tell the atmosphere is just so positive here during this All-Star festivities, you know.
A lot of young guys, you know, they travel over to Europe to play and all that sort of stuff. I guess the way that the last 18 months, 2 years have worked out for you, everything's completely justified for you, like staying with the Galaxy, establishing yourself in the team, getting yourself into the international squad. I guess for you, this is like, you know, this is like a nice little rounding off point, right?
Yeah, this is, like I said, I take it day by day, but this is an amazing opportunity just to be here with this All-Star team. You know, last year I was with the homegrown team, and like you said, over the course of my professional career, all these new achievements and all these new chapters, all these new doors that are being opened, I'm loving the experience. I'm loving every opportunity that's being presented upon myself.
So I just want to look ahead a little bit to October. Big game against Mexico. Obviously, you'll be hoping to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me, obviously, for the first time, you know, you've been in the national squad. I'm guessing the atmosphere and everything within the squad after the games in Europe was like sky high. And then obviously the Gold Cup didn't go as well as everyone hoped. So what do you hope to learn from that? The two experiences, the highs and the lows that you've had in just this short space of time?
Obviously that's the game of soccer. You have highs, you have lows. But not only that, you know, I've learned so much from the Holland game, from the Germany game, you know, playing at that level, playing overseas in a different environment, different atmosphere. And, the whole Gold Cup, you know, that was a new journey for myself, playing against other nations that are really competing and putting everything on the line to win this trophy. You know, it was just a wonderful experience for myself, but I learned a lot just being away for like a whole month, you know, with a new group of guys and learning their strengths, their weaknesses, and adjusting and adapting to the team, you know. And that's what I take away, you know. I just try to learn as much as I can from the players I play with so I can grow as a player myself. And just looking forward, you know, into October, we play Mexico at the Rose Bowl in my hometown. So, I mean, I pray and hope that I keep working extremely hard and keep proving that I deserve to be on the national team. And I hope I get called in to that camp and that game. Who knows what the future holds? But at the same time, you know, it's just going to be a crazy atmosphere because you have a lot of Mexicans that live in Los Angeles, and obviously Americans live there as well. But the atmosphere will be crazy. It's something I used to watch growing up, you know, when Mexico played USA. I used to watch it all the time, and no better place than the Rose Bowl.
Sure.
No better place. So I feel like it's just going to be an amazing year, you know?
Yeah, all the way. So change tack slightly. A little bird told me that you like to play a bit of golf.
Yeah.
what's your handicap?
Yeah, I haven't played golf since last year, believe it or not.
Oh,
you know, this year I've been...
Too busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I haven't played since our last... LA Galaxy holds a foundation tournament at Trump. I haven't played since then, but I would love to go out and play around. You know, I miss it.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
I used to say they call me Tiger Woods, but now I'll say Jordan Spieth.
You'll take Jordan? Oh, that's good of you. Just the two Grand Slams,
yeah,
right? No problem.
Exactly. It's all fun in games.
And what I do have to ask you about your hair, because again, is this true that you dye it so that your grandma can...
Yeah, initially it was for my grandmother, you know, so it's very visible for her and my grandfather when they watch me on TV. They used to come to games, but it's just too rowdy. They don't like to be in a big crowd, you know, and it's just a tough atmosphere for them, you know. They're kind of old, but... you know, she's always watching. She's a super fan, you know. Every Laker game, it's on TV. She's watching it, you know.
Right.
You know, a Galaxy game, it's on TV. You know, she's just a super fan. Don't matter the sport, Dodgers, she loves it. And it's just so much easier for her to find me out on the pitch. And I just love my support from all my family members back home.
So she still needs the reminder that you don't just do it now just because it's part of who you are now, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's grown, and that's what people know me by now, you know. And I forget I have a blonde streak in my head.
Great stuff. I look good. Good luck today. Good luck for the rest of the season. And hopefully you do get that call up in October because it's going to be a big game.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Last night, Soccer Gods and Howler had a little drinky party soiree thing at the British Bulldog here in Denver, and it was very nice. We met some people who read the magazine, watch the TV show, and generally watch a very entertaining game between Chelsea and Barcelona. However, in our discussions, George came up with that he's picking Luis Suarez over Leo Messi to play
as a hypothetical team.
On a hypothetical team.
I've said this for years now. This is not new.
No, yeah, we've had this argument before, and
so George's argument is,
and it's not one or the other. It's if you had to pick one player to build a team around, who would be your first choice? And my pick is Suarez for sure.
Yeah, which is insane.
No,
it's crazy. I mean, George, you went to Yale. You're a smart man. What the hell is wrong with you?
Standards are slipping there. Yeah, apparently
it is true. I mean, it's all grade inflation anyway. Messi is the best player to ever play soccer. Therefore, Suarez is worse than him. I don't even like Messi. I actually despise Messi. I'm a Madrid fan. I despise him with all my heart and soul.
But you would pick him.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. Messi is boring. He's a kind of a whiny crybaby.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He scores more than a goal a game.
Okay.
And has dozens and dozens of assists every year.
But he's also like, look, that system is set up for Messi perfectly. So I'm not arguing that he's not great. I'm not arguing.
Let's do a smart tactic and build our system not around our best player.
In my hypothetical setup, you build around Suarez and you have the hungriest. Thanks.
Yeah, you do.
you have the hungriest, most tenacious, most ridiculously talented striker I've ever like that. I enjoy watching him play more than anybody, and that's what I want. If I'm the chairman of this club, I just want to have fun watching this team.
You think Suarez is the most talented striker you've ever seen?
Okay, I was getting a little hyperbolic there.
Maybe. Now, look, here's the thing. When this discussion was happening last night, I love Luis Suarez. I was thinking, yeah, it's close. And then if it comes down to it, one or the other, 100 times out of 100 times, I'm taking Leo Messi. So it's not even that.
It's not close at all. I mean, it's not even close. It's so not close. I'm trying to think of how close it is. When George said it yesterday,
I was like, it's pretty close.
No, it's not close.
If I said to you, your life depended on this team, it's Leo Messi.
Taking Messi.
Okay, let's recast this. What if you could only choose one Uruguayan?
Huh? Current Uruguayan or
yeah,
all
yeah,
time?
Yeah, current Uruguayan.
Current Uruguayan. Uh-huh. I'm taking
Luis Suarez.
You're going to say Mascherano.
Mascherano's Argentina.
See, I was doing the John Stewart thing.
Diego Ladin.
Right.
Okay.
Jeez.
I'm kidding. I'm not saying that. I'm taking Luis Suarez.
Really, I thought this was going to be a better. You didn't bring it. All you had was he's the best ever. Come on. Seriously? That's
Messi?
It? That's it?
I mean, Messi scores more goals than Suarez.
Just because he's the best ever?
To be honest, it's a fairly strong ironclad argument. Like, you don't need to say much more than that.
The logic
he's the
is,
best ever.
It's impenetrable.
It's pretty solid.
Style is impetuous.
All right. Chocolate fog.
I do agree with George that Messi is one of the most boring humans I've ever seen on a television. Not on the field, but just in general.
Bottom five?
Bottom five least humans. Interesting humans.
On television.
Messi. But in his defense.
Along with me and Nando.
But in Messi's defense, he's never consumed human flesh.
Does that make him a better locker room person because he doesn't consume other people?
You gotta put chemistry in mind.
I don't think Luis Suarez swallowed.
That's what I'm saying. Consuming and chewing are two different things.
Inhaled, whatever.
You know, George today had an idea for this podcast involving farts, and then he suggested that we ask the audience who they think the fart came from.
I think the title and would be, whose like, fart is it anyway?
Right, whose fart is it anyway? And then he was like, I was like, yeah, you should tweet us at What a Howler. He goes, no. That's a Soccer God tweet. We don't do that. And I was like, oh, excuse me.
I kind of want more Zach in this podcast.
It's time for Tiki Takas, which is a really bad name for a segment, by the way.
No, it's Tiki Talka.
Yeah, it is Talka, I thought.
Wow, yeah, that's an even worse. It's an even worse name for
it's
a segment.
It's like a clever pun, but not clever. So this is a bit of the show where we talk about soccer stories from the week that have caught our eye. Kevin, I'm going to start with you.
Karim Benzema's relationship with that girl.
That is the most important soccer news of the summer, is whether or not Karim Benzema, you know, the god striker, the greatest player in the world, is he or is he not dating Rihanna?
There was some suggestion he was.
Well, he was seen on various social media platforms hanging out with her. But now he has this other girl.
Yeah, he's kind of dating this social media lunatic from Miami. Shout out to Miami. Stay real. This lady, after some more pictures of Benzema out eating curly fries or whatever with Rihanna came out, this lady created an Instagram account, posted 26 photos and videos of her and Kareem within hours while myself and Maridi Marungi, also of Soccer Guys, were doing some deep investigative journalism on it, set her Instagram to private, then deleted all those posts with Benzema, and now they're all gone.
She has a history dating soccer players. Who else did she date?
First, in how many of those photos was he asleep?
None.
Oh, that's
a very willing participant. Yeah. A very willing participant. I mean, and she didn't do it before we managed to get screen caps of all of it, because it's very important for the people. You know, that kind of journalism, when a story like that breaks, we want to be at the forefront of Instagram-based journalism.
That's what Soccer Gods does.
To a T, we are the greatest Instagram journalists. We respect the code of ethics. Like, we don't go to, like, activity pages and see what you were liking. It's all the public stuff. But we're in that deep. We don't get you on the gram.
All right, my favorite story.
Yeah, go on. What have you got?
My favorite story is the rekindling of the Rafa Benitez-Jose Mourinho feud. Rafa Benitez's wife, Montse, made some comments to the press where she suggested that Rafa Benitez, all he ever does is clean up Mourinho's messes at teams.
Great.
Which is kind of funny. And then Mourinho responded in classic Mourinho style, saying that Rafa Benitez's wife should worry about Benitez's diet because he's fat. So
there's two things with this. It's a great story.
It's just
essentially he fat shamed Rafa Benitez.
Yes.
Which is wrong in itself. And kind of a bit like, you should get back in the kitchen, woman.
A little bit like, you know. Like, shut up and cook food.
Yeah.
No, it's not a good look for
Mourinho. Stop frying it because you're making Rafa tubby.
Exactly. You know, and it just fits the context of Rafa Benitez's summer, where this kind of dream move to Real Madrid for him. He was always a Real Madrid fan. He coached the youth system. He finally got his shot to coach Real Madrid's first team, but everything just seems to be going wrong from day one.
How can you be saying that already? They haven't even kicked a ball yet.
Well, that's what they do
at Real Madrid.
That's what we do. That's part of what it is. Right. Everything seems to be going wrong.
He'll be fine.
He's feuding with Ronaldo already, which was one of the most predictable things anyone could ever have predicted. So yeah, it should be interesting. I'm excited for the new season.
My tiki-taka is about a soccer board game called Soccer City that's up on Kickstarter right now. It's these two guys in Spain. I like soccer, but I'm also a big board game fan.
What's your favorite board game?
My favorite board game is called, I have two. One is called Wars of the Roses. It reenacts the 1450 to say 1500
England.
Wow,
that is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard. And
the War of the Roses as in like Yorkshire versus Lancashire.
Yeah. It's an amazing game. It's really hard to find people to play it with me, but
I'm sure you can find some good, cool online forums.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Hey, you want to come up to Tampa?
Sure.
We'll do that.
Sure. Awesome. Oh, I'm interested. War of the Roses, very interesting time in English.
The other one is actually about Napoleon invading Madrid. It's called, anyway, I'm not going to describe that one. But, there are these historical board games. But this one is like a tactics board game for soccer. In fact, my wife once took me, before we were married, to a board game convention as a surprise for my birthday with some friends.
Where was that?
It was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And we were entered into the Settlers of Catan competition. But we walked through and it's all these serious people. Like, they have these board games that they reenact specific battles in World War II and whatnot. And there were these, like, I think it's really an excuse for people to fly Nazi flags and not be like self-conscious about it.
What's your strategy in Monopoly?
I don't have one. I don't play Monopoly. That's really for beginners. So,
excuse me.
Board game hot takes from George Kureishi. Yeah. You heard it here first.
Monopoly
is for savages.
I backed this game. It's they've had 219 backers. They've raised 14,280 euros.
And how many do they need?
They need 25,000.
That's almost
there. They're close, and they have 21 days to go. So I feel like a few more dummy listeners, if you like board games, Soccer City, it's well designed. They have these great illustrated cards. They have like Bobby Charlton on a card. Like, you know, it's a really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, obviously they're hitting me with the history and the soccer thing at the same
time. Are you into live action role playing? Do you do like live action role playing with like famous soccer matches?
You can hear my other podcast, cosplay with George.
Right. LARPing my way to a fantasy
land. You can't hear that podcast because it's private.
I kind of want to.
It's just for yourself. You record it and then listen to it.
Just listen to it again.
Yeah. All right. I've got a couple. Two. I've got two stories.
Tiki Takas.
The first one is that the beautiful game turns ugly will be a permanent display at the Museum of Organized Crime. And that's opening on September the 1st. It's the Mob Museum in downtown Las Vegas, and they're having a permanent thing about FIFA corruption, so that's kind of cool. And producer Zach has just handed me this, which I think you've seen, Kevin, but it's the Jeff Cameron tweet from this morning.
Oh, it's excellent.
Just saying, how is Clinton getting away with the Benghazi situation, SMH? Can someone explain to me how that's come about?
Benghazi is like a right-wing conspiracy theory.
I know what that is, but why is he tweeting about that today?
Yeah, why today?
Why today? Like, something happened.
Why ever, and also why today?
Maybe he's a Bernie Sanders fan.
No, it seems like he's on the Benghazi train. Like, he thinks that Clinton was involved in a big cover up and is unfit to be president. And he wants people to know about that. How many likes and retweets did that get?
I retweeted it.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
I know.
I didn't know that Jeff Cameron was like a political person.
Well, he clearly is not.
Well, no, he is. He's tweeting political things.
Right, but that doesn't mean, I mean.
Maybe he's developing a political consciousness as we, like, in public as we watch.
I like it when athletes have a political.
I'm kind of wondering why Simon didn't ask Jossie Zardes about Benghazi.
Well, you know, I don't know him well enough. Second interview. Actually, I had something about this the other day. Now, normally, soccer players, and especially when they're currently involved in the game and all that stuff, are not allowed to have political, like, make public their political viewpoints, right? Pep Guardiola is standing as some kind of non-standing representative of the Catalan National Party.
Yeah.
And cast his vote and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like a big thing. Now, as a guy who's still currently in football, as opposed to the guys who get into politics after they've retired, how is he allowed to get away with that?
It's not illegal.
Because isn't he expressing, like...
That's fine, though. I mean, as long as Bayern lets him do it. You know, I think it's like a team-by-team policy. I think it's not like...
It's not a league thing?
No.
Because it then got... So Robbie Fowler did something
in Spain, it happens all the time. Like, you'll see Basque players or Catalan players march in public displays of nationalism. Like, whenever there's a big manifestation or something in Bilbao.
I remember Pique went on the walk and all that stuff, right?
Pique did that. He did, like, the hand-in-hand protest. You know, you've seen Bilbao players do Basque nationalist marches all the time.
When Xavi, like, plays... Was it Xavi who played for the Catalan national?
They all play for the Catalan
national. Also, is that a political statement?
It kind of is. I mean, it's sort of... It's not a huge deal. It's very, very common in Spain. I mean, cause people play for... There's all sorts of teams. You know, there's the Galician team and the Andalusian team, but they only play one game a year, really, on Christmas.
And I'm guessing no one's ever been, like, badly injured in that game, because then they'd be like, no.
Well, I'm sure it has happened. I can't think of one on the off the top of my head. But yeah, in Spain, players will express their political opinions all the time. Happens all the time.
I like that. That's better than what we have.
Paul Breitner played for Real Madrid and was a Maoist and was frequently photographed in cafes around Madrid with his little red book.
So the only one I could think of in England, too, actually, Frank Lampard, in an interview a few years ago, expressed that he would vote for the Conservative Party.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie Fowler of Liverpool, the dock workers in Liverpool were on strike. He scored a goal and pulled up his shirt, and it was designed like Calvin Klein, the CK, but it said Dockers. Mm. And he got, like, a fine. Because
maybe it's a Premier League thing, but yeah, in Spain it's not. There is no...
I think Fowler might also be for legalization, judging by his goal celebrations.
I don't. He got into a lot of trouble for that one.
Yeah, snorting the line.
Was he fined by the league or by Liverpool?
By the league. He actually got a ban for the coke snorting celebration. He got a ban, and then like a week later, he like showed his backside to Graham Lasso during a game. So he got like 4 games for that and 4 games for the drug thing.
The reason he did that is because he was taunting Graham Lasso with like an anti-gay.
Yeah, slur essentially. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's classic.
The only thing that Robbie ever did wrong in his career.
Classy is another dog whistle term, isn't it? Are we being...
Gerard Houllier defended him from the coke snorting celebration. Gerard Houllier defended him by saying that it was a celebration that Rigobert Song had taught him and that he was just eating the grass.
Yeah, it's like the guy who did the
That's
the,
racist.
Like it's like Anelka doing the what's it called?
Like the Nazi salute.
Yeah, I mean, that's a political thing to do as well. I mean,
yeah, and he got into a lot of trouble for that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, in Europe, there are certain rules just in the governments against, you know, Nazi or fascist propaganda or whatever. Like you know,
yeah, it's not quite free speech.
In France, it's illegal to deny the Holocaust. For example, you can go to jail. There are certain political expressions that are just illegal.
Maybe soccer players aren't discouraged from being political. They're discouraged from having like hateful.
Oh yeah, like what was it, Di Canio? Reaction. Also got into trouble when he was he went back to Lazio for Nazi salutes after scoring goals. But in Spain, at least, it's perfectly legal and common, actually, for soccer players to express political opinions, especially the Basque and Catalan guys.
Cool.
They're frequently.
So Benghazi.
Benghazi.
Good place to end it.
I wonder what Guardiola thinks about Benghazi.
Who's got an interview? Can you get there?
I mean, I have an exclusive with him coming up, but.
Can we say, hey, so Pep, Jeff Cameron recently tweeted. Why is that funny?
Just the idea of Guardiola thinking about Jeff Cameron for even a half a second is funny to me. I don't know why.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, American.
Maybe he's only being the missing piece in the jigsaw.
Right.
That does it for the Soccer Gods Takeover episode of the Dummy Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to Dummy on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your other podcasting channels. You can watch Nando, Kevin, and I on Soccer Gods 9 o'clock on Fusion on Mondays at 9 o'clock and at soccergods.com. This episode of Dummy is sponsored by Who Are Your Designs. Use the promo code DUMMY at checkout for free shipping on anything in their store. The Howler Singers are led by Lindsay Elliott. They are members of the choral ensemble Ghostlight. All the rest of the music is by Brian Kim. This podcast was produced by Ryan Cantonese. I know that's not how you say his name. George will be back with real guests next week.
Hey, Jazzy Sardis is a real guest.
Yeah, he was. And he was nice too. And remember, if you listen to... I'm not sure if I like this sign off, by the way, but if you listen to Dummy, you'll never listen alone.
This episode of Dummy is brought to you by Who Are Ya? Check out whoareyadesigns.com for the most clever soccer shirts in all the land. Whether you follow the English Premier League, MLS, or your favorite national teams, Who Are Ya has a shirt for you. Right now, they're offering free shipping to all Dummy listeners when you use promo code DUMMY at checkout. That's DUMMY. Enter it in, and you'll get free shipping on your order at whoareyadesigns.com.